Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We might just be in France, but this is global. These players are icons. Their stories are noble. In fact, each story into the game is golden. It's way more than just a game. It's a player's story into the pitch and all that she overcame. It's football 2019, and this is its brand new face. Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
What is up? I'm Heath.
I'm Monkey.
Welcome back, Monkey.
Thanks.
And this is Football Inside Out, a podcast from Copa 90. We're coming to you every day from the Copa 90 Clubhouse in Paris, bringing you all the excitement from the 2019 Women's World Cup.
And this is what we have got for you today. We hear from Scottish goalkeeper Shannon Lynn. The man known as Ellie is bringing you everything you really need to know about Japan and Argentina. Plus, guys, don't forget to subscribe on all the podcasts. Forms, Apple, Spotify, Acast, and leave us a review as well. Because to be honest, me and Heath want to carry on doing this forever and ever and ever.
I'd like that.
So if you do that, that'd be great. But first of all, we've got a little recap and five things you need to know about going into the day.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Number one, Jamaica are heading home. They scored a goal, 0 points, but they're the first team in history to concede a hat trick in three consecutive FIFA World Cup games, both men's and women's tournaments. Not a proud moment, but I was excited to have Jamaica here.
Yeah, me too. That statistic kind of sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. But it was cool to have them here. And their story was really cool as well.
Yeah, and I think it's an example, again, of the fact that they made the World Cup here after falling short last time. Mm-hmm. And now it's room for progress, right? Now they can go back and say, we made the World Cup. Let's fund this program even more so we can actually compete at the World Cup.
I heard a story as well that Umbro didn't make them an away kit because they didn't think that they were going to make it through to the World Cup. So when they eventually got here, they were like, shit. They had to make one suddenly.
Is that true?
Apparently so.
Wow, that's crazy.
Number two, history maker. Sam Kerr hits Australia's first ever hat-trick at a senior World Cup for either men or women. She scored all four in the Aussies 4-1 win over Jamaica.
Yeah, that title was supposed to be history maker.
Did I say making?
You just said maker. You have to sell the curb. Maker.
Maker. Oh, yeah, it's a pun.
Yeah, sorry. We're fine with that, though. Moving on to number three, a magic moment for Marta. A lot of rhyming there. The Brazilian is now the all-time top goal scorer in World Cup finals history, overtaking Germany's Miroslav Klose.
You smashed the German name there. I was looking at it like, I'm not sure if he's going to... But he's got this because he's cultured.
Yeah, I travel.
Number four. If you're not first...
You're last.
Yeah.
Oh, you did a really good accent there. Say that one more time.
If you're not first...
You're last. That's well done.
Shake and bake, baby.
You said that better than me.
Italy finished first, Australia second, and Brazil through on third, despite earning only 6 points.
Despite earning... 6 points. Six points is fine.
Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah. 6 points is great.
It's just weird to finish third with 6 points.
Yeah, that is weird because that group is hard.
Yeah, it's a hard group. Unexpected Italy there. And then looking forward, number five, Japan play against Inglaterra or England, and Scotland play against Argentina. Who do you have for those? Quick predictions.
England, obviously. I'm going to go Scotland again.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like them to win a game.
You're riding for them.
Yeah, come on. United Kingdom.
Argentina and Scotland could potentially get through. Was there something to that?
Yeah, they both could get through.
The odds are still there.
Yeah.
It's still possible. Cool. Well, those are the five things you need to know going into your day.
Copper 90.
Whilst on the FIFA rankings, they may lag four places behind the English in seventh, and the Lionesses recently beat them 3-0 at the She Believes Cup. When it comes to major tournaments, the Japanese are a force to be reckoned with. Continental Champs is the winners of the 2018 and 2014 Women's Asian Cup. The real measure of the team is their previous two World Cup campaigns, where Nadeshiko, as their nickname in Japan, defied all expectations by making the final two tournaments running, most famously winning it in 2011. But perhaps due to their underwhelming She Believes Cup tournament, or perhaps due to the very young squad, there isn't much talk of the Japanese going as far as the final for a third time in a row. But with a few of the 2011 winners still in the squad and a reputation for thriving when given underdog status, all the Group B talk focusing on England will suit the Japanese just fine, as they'll be aiming to go deep into the competition while the rest of us focus on the other powerhouses of the tournament. But here's what you should really care.
Inside score.
Whilst almost all men's national teams have a nickname they're synonymous with in their respective homeland, a lot of women's national teams are still fighting to establish their own nicknames into the psyche of their broader public. However, this isn't the case in Japan, where almost everyone, football fan or not, knows exactly what you're talking about when you mention Nadeshiko. A term for the lacy pink carnations found in the mountains of Japan, it's also the nickname of the Japanese women's national team, who became overnight celebrities when they defeated the odds-on favourite USA to win the 2011 Women's World Cup. The historic win sent the Japanese public Nadeshiko mad, and upon returning, the team who left the tournament with barely a dozen journalists and very few fans came home to absolute delirium up and down the country, most notably in the Kanagawa prefecture town of Yamato, birthplace to several of the team's star players who put on a homecoming parade of over 10,000 people. But it didn't stop there. Nadeshiko became the first sports team to receive the People's Honor Award from then Prime Minister Naoto Kan. Kit sales soared so high that the next kit Adidas created for them was their first ever exclusive women's kit. Attendances for the team soared wherever they played. And the TV viewership for Nadeshiko games started outrating the viewership for men's national team games. Individually, the stars of the tournament also benefited. In the short term, with Coca-Cola Japan announcing a 3-year contract worth nearly €1 million for Nadeshiko star Homare Sawa, and long term, with many post-retirement, earning careers as respected TV commentators on not just the women's game, but the men's game too. All this coming from a country who only a few decades ago had such a patronizing mentality towards the female game that women's tournaments saw players use smaller pitches, a special girls' ball, 25-minute halves, and the allowance of hands if they were used to protect the chest. But perhaps the most notable legacy of 2011's success was the change to the meaning behind the famous nickname itself. You see, as well as its reference to the flower, the word Nadeshiko is also linked to the Japanese word Yamato Nadeshiko, a centuries-old term used to praise the unadorned, clean beauty of a Japanese woman. These days, considered by many to be a problematic term synonymous with the conservative concepts of Japanese femininity. But according to many, thanks to the efforts of the national team of the past decade, who followed up their 2011 heroics by going to the final again in 2015 and of course winning two more Asian Cups, that meaning has shifted and has now become a byword for brave, determined battlers rather than fragile mountain bloomers. And whilst like the last two World Cups, very few are predicting another Japanese run to the final, if Nadeshiko can emulate their heroics and defy the odds, the term Nadeshiko might just need another reinterpretation for this incredible side.
Girls' balls. That is some bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
What's all that about? How big were they? Were they like really small or something? Were they pink?
Pink.
Yeah.
Isn't that a term that they used to say, a derogatory term in fashion, was pink it and shrink it, was like a thing that they would do when they would release lines of clothing of like, oh, here's how we'll make it for women. You pink it and shrink it was like the plan. And it's like, obviously...
You make it pink and make it small.
Yeah, make it pink and you make it small. And that was what they considered making women's sports clothing. Whereas now we're starting to see all the brands making women-specific things, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so do you know what though? Some brands still make women's sports stuff in like really ridiculous colours instead of just like normal colours, like black and blue and grey and white. Like you walk in, it would be like fluorescent pink, fluorescent yellow. Like all the colours of the Power Rangers, the women Power Rangers. I'm not going to wear that.
But... a lot of people don't have, both men and women, don't have a will or need to feel like high fashion or what's trendy. Like if you look at most stores, I would assume that your style, you've got a great style, at least in my opinion, isn't going to be
the same
findable in most women's stores, generally speaking, right?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what though, went to a few outlets in the States when I was on tour there, and all the women's stuff is in normal colors.
Okay.
And in like bright colors as well. Again, I think it just goes down to like being an athlete in the States is quite normal.
Yeah.
As a woman.
It's a big difference. And yeah. And just a lot of, I think the emergence of the acceptance of leggings, not acceptance, but like leggings has become a thing over the last years. Of black leggings.
Do you wear leggings? Some blokes wear leggings.
No. I mean, my jeans have like a mix of like a stretchy legging type material, like a jegging type thing. Not quite jeggings, but like it's like some sort of hybrid material. But that's just to keep the elasticity stays comfortable and you can wear them all day long. It's not like really rigid, which I've had to do for like until I had my hip surgery. Mm-hmm. I couldn't wear regular jeans because it would like pinch my hips when I sat down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can call them jeggings, man. That's cool with me.
They're not jeggings. they're meggings. Now, but yeah, back to France. I'm flustered. Back to Japan. That's who it is. They play against England to win the top of the group. How about that, huh? Let's talk about that one thing real quick, huh?
Yeah, man. I'm.
Is anybody else sweating in here? Or am I the only one that's hot?
Yo, it's hot today.
I am feeling warm right now. A little flush.
It is warm today.
Red's face is feeling a little red. Maybe that's just me.
Those jeggings a bit
yeah.
tight.
Yeah. I'm wearing shorts today. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. So you are.
It's hot here today, though.
It's very hot today in Paris.
How was your trip?
It was fun. It was really, really fun. The crowd were really cool. I played that club a few times and it always kind of goes down well. So,
I predicted that it would be a bunch of drunk Brits.
You did. I heard that. Pretty much correct. Yes, yeah. That was about right. Yeah.
While you were gone, though, I actually got a compliment from somebody, and they went to my DMs to compliment you, which I thought was cool, but also just like, where's the love for me? It didn't include anything for me. Was this. Listening to the pod, I miss Monkey. Been listening every day to you guys, and you're doing a great job. Like, applause from Cleveland. American flag, soccer ball emojis.
Shout out to you. What's the name? Did they live in
A? That was Chris Eaton.
Big old Chris Eaton.
Chris Eaton. There was one more actually that somebody just posted today. Weird, like the first time it said, enjoying this too much. You got tagged in it too. Enjoying this too much in relation to like they reshared our podcast and then tagged the two of us in it.
That's cool.
And that was Topo Maceda.
Big name. So I've been doing this thing. I say I've been doing this thing. I've been doing it for a day where I've like limited myself on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, you can do that on your phone. I didn't know you could do that until like 2 days ago.
I get it by 9 a.m. in the morning right now because we're like working late.
Yeah.
It starts at 12:01. And so sometimes on my walk home or when I get home, I'll just sort of decompress and sort of catch up on the day.
Yeah.
And then I'll wake up in the morning and go on Instagram. It. And it'll be like after 10 minutes, it'll be like, you've reached your daily limit. I'm like, what is going on here?
But what is it? What is your daily limit?
I think it's an hour.
Yeah, mine's an hour. Because I looked on the screen like time or whatever for the first time the other day and I was like, ugh, that's disgusting.
Mine's a lot here, a lot higher than usual, but that's only because I'm not really using my laptop to research things. I'm sort of just trying to find information all the time via my phone.
See, that's weird because mine's down by 40% since I've been here.
Wow.
I think because I'm just like, got people to talk to.
Could be, yeah. Humans.
Ooh, human interaction. I'm enjoying this.
Yeah. Well, you're eating up 45 minutes of your day on this podcast.
That's true.
You
know? A whole 45
It'd be rude minutes. if you were scrolling the gram while I was talking. You're like, no, for sure, man. Yeah, yeah. Great point there.
Hey, I've been watching that Formula One documentary on Netflix. Bit off topic, but still sports, and it's sick. I'm not into.
This is a football and entertainment podcast. So entertainment.
I'm not. Sports and entertainment.
And entertainment news.
I'm not into like driving or Formula One at all, but this is amazing. It's crazy how political it is.
Do you have to be into driving to like Formula One? That was a very distinct
statement, wasn't it?
You're like, I'm not in, but you drive. Though,
I do
right?
drive, yeah. yeah. I'm not like, woo, I'm driving. Although I do like my car, got nice.
It is a really, really good film series. It's actually made by Box to Box Films, who did the Ronaldo doc and a couple others.
Yeah, it's so funny how like.
Friends of Copa 90.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, yeah.
Really good people.
They did. They actually did a panel and a screening at the World Cup last year for us in our clubhouse.
So a really interesting thing that they pointed out, which I didn't know, was that if a new owner comes into a team of two people, they can just like switch out a driver, for example, their son, they can just put in a car.
Yeah.
Imagine if they did that in football. Like, imagine my dad bought Man City and he's like, right, you're playing right wing now. I'd get fucking found out so fast.
First of all, I'd be like your best friend because your dad owns Man City.
He totally which is a pretty, can't
yeah. Yeah, that would be so bizarre. But why couldn't they? In theory, why couldn't they? Why yeah, couldn't I mean, an yeah, owner come in? I mean, owners are relatively disliked, right? I'd say the majority are, they're just like commissioners, like league commissioners. They're not well-liked because they have a different perspective. There are quite a few sort of bad owners or ones that have the wrong moral compass, I guess you yeah. could say. But they have to balance an actual business, right? Whereas for us as fans, we just want to watch a team entertain us and know that we can trust in this to continue to be consumers of this sport. But actually, if you could paint the picture of an owner now and they were like, well, I could just like stop funding your team, or you could just let my kid play.
Sign
you
know, my son.
Yeah. It would be bad though. Like if they were in the roster, if they were in the squad, right? When Kaká went to AC Milan, his brother signed for AC Milan. Nowhere near the quality of the player.
Do you think that was part of like the deal?
100%.
Really?
There's no way that, love the guy. I played with him for a short time. Mm. His name's Digao. Love the guy. But this was AC Milan.
Would he agree with you?
Totally. He was making crazy money and he was on loan for 5 years straight. You're telling me that that was like an acquisition that was built around... I mean, big ups to Kaká for taking care of his family.
Yeah, bring in.
Yeah. But also there's... You can't tell me that that's not... There's not something more to that because he wasn't AC Milan quality. He was literally on loan from the day that he got here.
That's interesting.
Or got there. I didn't play at AC Milan, so I can't say here. Since he got to our club.
You remember when Usain Bolt tried out for Man United?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he obviously didn't get in. But he ended up playing in Australia, didn't he, or something?
No, he never signed that deal.
Oh, he didn't?
No, they couldn't come to terms. But Chad Ochocinco, do you remember who he was in the NFL?
No.
He was one of... So there was Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco. He changed his name. His name was Chad Johnson, and he changed it to his jersey number in Spanish, officially. Changed his name to Chad Ochocinco.
Why?
Because he's a legend. That's why. Because like he was like Meta World Peace in the NBA, where they just like, this is Ron Artest, changed his name to Meta World Peace.
Right.
And then Chad Johnson changed his name to Chad Ochocinco. He tried out for Sporting Kansas City.
Wait, was he like at all Hispanic?
No. He just changed his name to Ochocinco. His jersey was 85 and he put Ochocinco on
it. It's like when a DJ like is from the UK and goes to make techno in Berlin and like gives themselves a DJ, like a German DJ name. And then you find out they're from Leamington Spa.
Yeah.
And you're like...
DJ Fructost.
Yeah. It's not the same. Is
yeah. Is it a faux pas now in the music industry to have DJ in your name?
No. It's just uncommon, I think.
Yeah.
Unless, yeah, no, it's just uncommon, I think.
It became a branding thing because most of the big or better DJs are producers also, right? Like they make music as well as...
Yeah, they're producers or like some of them are like broadcasters or they own record labels. So it's not just like, they're not just DJ. Sound like that old Yamaha keyboard, you know, used to get DJ. So quite a lot of time people don't really put them. Like if you look at a lineup on a festival, there's no like DJ in front of people's names.
I'm actually a little bit...
Apart from DJ Snake, maybe.
Yeah, I'm a little bit shocked that you didn't bring like any sort of like sound effect board for this podcast, being the DJ that you are, and just go wah, 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 or like a boo, like every time.
Shit, we're missing out.
Like a boo button.
Producer Lucy, can you sort this out, please?
Yeah.
Thank you. Maybe I can get a few things together.
Amazon Prime, same day. We can have this by the end of the episode if we hurry.
So not so long ago, I caught up with Shannon Lynn, who's one of the goalkeepers for Scotland. She did a Detours, Dead Ends and Destinations for us. And lots of players have gone through several hardships through their lives and football has helped them out tremendously. And here is her story.
Detours, Dead Ends and Destinations.
When I finished university in Indiana, I started actually this like goalkeeper coach at another university. And I had a girlfriend that I had met a year before on 28th of July 2007, I met her. And on the 28th of July 2008, she got really sick and ended up that she had meningitis. And within a couple of days, she had passed away. So in amongst that happening was my football career. And before that had happened, there was this combine in Florida with when the Professional American League was going to start again. So it was tryouts. So every coach in that league got to pick like a certain amount of players. So it was 125 players that got invited to this. And a couple weeks before I had got that invitation, and when Sarah was alive, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. That was going to be in September. And Sarah passed away July 31st, 2008. And I was like, no way, I can't do this, you know? So it ended up, I just somehow went. And that was the hardest thing I ever did in my life, besides the day that this had actually happened. And I ended up going, and it was like the strength of her knowing and was like telling me how proud and excited she was. And this is us, 22 years old, kids, basically, and just like, whoa, like that was like one thing. I was almost going to become a professional soccer player. And we were like, holy crap, you know? I know we're 22, but we were in complete love and was ready to, you know, start our life. And I'm thinking I'm going to be a pro, you know? Obviously, it took everything out of me to go, but I just realized that, you know, and the cliches of what you say, but she would have really wanted me to at least try. And I went and tried, and it went okay, fine, but I mean, I wasn't there, you know, but I did it. But that's where the next break comes, is that when I ended up going, which luckily I did, I met a girl from Scotland who was also at the combine, and you know, she had this Scottish accent, and I was like, oh, I was like, I'm Scottish too. She's like, what do you mean? Tell her my, you know, my parents are Scottish and I'm from Canada, blah, blah, blah. She's like, oh, okay. I'll add you on Facebook or whatever it was. The next year, she contacted me, like almost a year later. Out of the blue, I hadn't spoken to her, nothing, but wrote me and was like, hey, we need a goalie at my club here in Hibernian, is where I played. I ended up coming to play, and she's like, we need a goalie for 3 months. Do you fancy it? And I said to my dad, and that was when, you know, I was going through so much and I was still having a really hard time, and saying to my dad, like, should I do it? You know? And he's like, well, it's 3 months. Like, you know, what can you lose? Like, kind of thing. And I was like, all right. And went to Scotland and played for Hibs and ended up playing 3 months season. Went back home in December into Canada and was kind of like, am I going to go back or what am I going to do? In hope that I would get called into the Scottish national team, I end up getting an email to be invited to Scotland national camp. Went to that camp and knock on wood, but I have been at every single camp since then. So that's 10 years later. And I've been in the national team since that camp that I ended up, you know, getting invited to that very first, after those 3 months in Scotland. So I was, you know, low, and I was seriously didn't think I was going to survive. I got really sick, and I drank, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know where to go, and I didn't know who I was. And, you know, I was this in love 22-year-old, and I had never felt that way before. And I thought, this is 1 year I only got given, and what the hell, you know? And for somehow I just said, give it a go. And the reason was, it's football. That's when I always go back to how I love football and how much fun it is. And now it sounds corny and cheesy and all that, but it saved my life, and I really, really believe it did.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
Big up, Shannon. That's a cool story. I mean, it's obviously not cool for a lot of reasons, but it's cool that she came out the other side going through something terrible. Have you ever had sort of real hardships at any point in your career?
Not necessarily my career as a player.
I mean, outside.
But
as
like,
well,
yeah, when I was younger, when I was 12 years old, my best friend, we shared a birthday, and he was my best friend when I lived in Oregon for like 3-4 years. Sort of went through a rough period at like 13 years old and took his own life.
Blimey.
And that was like a real rough thing for me, obviously at that age, only because you see it now and the world's so connected now, but it's a scary thought to think that there's still people that feel really alone and around, you know?
Yeah.
And so I sort of tried to take that, especially knowing that the world can be so connected that you can actually make a difference, and try to actually just turn things into open dialogues and make sure you're checking on people and making sure people feel kind of comfortable of to talk, and that there's people around no matter how sort of alone they feel.
Yeah.
Because there's no blueprint for when you go through something like she went through. There's no take this pill, walk this far, listen to this music, talk to this person. There's no route. There's no timeline. There's none of that. So it's just about, you know, sort of around your circles of people, making sure that you're there for people, and that, not that you think they are, but that sometimes you're willing to have that what might feel uncomfortable conversation with somebody, so that you're there supporting them.
Did football help a lot in that time? You were playing quite a bit of soccer then, weren't you?
Yeah, so that was at the age where things started. So he was on my competitive team. That's when things got competitive. Yeah, I think football was a major thing for me. There was a lot of bad things happening in my, like, things that I couldn't control at that age. And I was 12. He was 13, so we had the same birthday. He was a year older than me. But I think football was a massive, and just sports in general, because I was still playing other sports then, was a massive distraction to the kind of things I was going through. And at that age, your brain has got all kinds of chemical imbalances. You know, your body's changing, all these types of things. When I was a kid, that it makes it hard. So sports was definitely sort of my escape, and sort of became that for a long time.
Yeah, I think football is like the only thing I can do, and this includes DJing as well, where I'm doing it and I do not think of anything else. Like, nothing at all goes through my head. It's kind of amazing. It's very strange. It's like meditating or something.
Somebody was asking me that today of like, I went to lunch with an old friend of mine, and he was like, yeah, you told me, I saw him last night, and he was like, yeah, you told me in the morning you were going to go for a run. And he's like, you made me really feel down about the fact that you were going to get up. You know, I had a few drinks yesterday with him, and get up and go for a run. I can't believe that after your career, you still enjoy running. And I was like, I hate running. I'm just doing it because I need to exercise. And I would actually pay money for somebody to set up a football pitch somewhere around here so I could just have the distraction of playing football, getting touches, getting a workout, and then being done, having a little bit of competition or having a little bit of fun, and being done. It's such an escape for me still, the once or twice a week that I get to do it, that out here, I'm exercising to exercise, but I absolutely hate the torturous thought of me by myself, music or not, running, and then basically reliving your life over a 30-minute run of going like, I think I left the iron on, or I think, you know, like, I wonder what this person's doing, or I probably should have said sorry to that person 19 years ago. Like, those kinds of things are torturous for me, but football is like, no matter what it is, it's gone for that period that I'm playing.
Are you a music guy when you run, or are you on nothing? Nothing guy. I think those nothing people are a bit weird.
I am a music person, but more often than not, I found carrying, so I'm running with like my Beats wireless headphones right now, and I don't have the sport ones. So Beats, if you want to send me a pair of sport ones.
Was that a casual plug?
No, but I've been wearing these big heavy ones, and they actually work. It's just that usually I have the intent of listening to music, but the idea of, I don't have like an arm sleeve or something like that. I got targeted a couple days ago by, you know, sliders or like the undershorts you would wear to go running.
Oh yeah.
There is a full phone sleeve on the quad.
Yeah, I've seen that. I have a pink, surprise, because it was the only one in the shop, armband, phone carrier. If you want to borrow it sometime, I can hook a brother up.
I love the music because it's a huge distraction. I've actually, you know, and I told you guys this a few days ago, started listening to talk podcasts in the morning when I run. And our producer, Lucy, pointed out that you tend to run, or she tends to run slower but longer on a talk podcast than faster when it's like music. And I definitely was doing that. Like I wasn't in a hurry to get home towards the end of the podcast I was listening to. Yeah. Our podcast.
I was gonna say, I was like, was it us?
About 41 minutes. but I skipped through the features because I've heard those now, but I like just listening to things over again, one, to make sure that I haven't embarrassed my family. But two, just like there's other podcasts that I listen to, but just like going on a nice long run, I didn't feel like the music shifting to another song can sort of shift my mood or whatever. It was just like a nice long run. I didn't feel in a hurry. I just felt like I was listening to a podcast the way that I would at home, except now I'm exercising.
Have you ever heard? I've listened to podcasts when I've ran. I went on a really, really big run at the beginning of the year. And I listened to like a podcast that was like a few hours long because my way of it was like, right, if I can listen to this whole podcast, I've probably done X.
So Joe Rogan for sure then.
Yeah. It was like 3 hours or some shit. Yeah. And by the time I'd ended it, like I'd run like half a marathon. So I was like, cool. That made it a bit easier to be fair.
Yeah. I'm not sure that that's what I mean. mine's literally like get to 40 minutes and I'm happy because things are starting to hurt. You know,
I was trying to prove a point. Basically, I was like, I said to someone, oh, I reckon I could run a half marathon with no training. And she was like, go on then. I was like, fuck. So I did it just to prove a point.
So you actually ran a half marathon?
Yeah.
On the fly, just like.
I wasn't thinking pump, too
pumped
bad.
Up your kicks and just started like, no, I'll start now.
Let's go.
Wow.
Yeah, no, but probably won't be doing it anytime soon again. I'm doing like a triathlon in September, which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's going
to
be crazy.
Haven't bought a bike yet, so.
It's crazy, though, the way that you have to. Yeah, those help. It's crazy, though, because I saw Chelsea Grimes post on social media today also, and same thing for yourself, that teams are in preseason now and getting workouts in, and she hasn't done, like, she told me she did, like, a couple hours of playing football yesterday, but for the most part, it's not like it's competitive or, like, she's way behind. And you guys that are doing so many things at a professional level, like, at a high level, it's crazy just how you're able to figure out how to stay in shape and do all the rest.
Yeah, I am. So my preseason starts actually a week before I get back from this. So I'll miss two sessions or whatever, but I just put in all my preseason dates in my diary and I'm looking at my tour schedule and I'm like, this is going to be tough. But I'm used to it now. And like, I just have to stay really organized and make sure that I am hydrated and I have a gym in my hotel.
Yeah.
Is like one of the things I ask for.
Real quick, do you find yourself though, when you're on a pitch after, you know, nights that you haven't slept much, gone straight into a pitch or to a match, do you not ever feel like your body is telling you, like, have you gotten to that point where your body's like, you should stop running, like sort of play a little smarter?
Yeah. There was a point last season where I played in somewhere in the UK and I got picked up and got driven to my match pretty much the opposite end of the UK. Mm-hmm. And I slept in the car and I had a couple of hours sleep in the hotel. And my coach asked me if I was okay to start. Usually I'll tell him I'm too tired and I'll just be on the bench. And he was like, you're right. And I was like, yeah, I feel all right, actually. So I started and like at half time, my whole body was like, what are you doing, you idiot? Go sit on the bench. Stop kidding yourself. Yeah. And I think I got to the point where I was like, yeah, I can't do that anymore. Yeah. So I have to look after myself a bit better now, for sure. Yeah. And just listen to my body. But yeah.
Comes with age.
I know, mate. Don't say that. Come on, I'm still in my 20s.
You'll be fine.
Thanks. So we have got an inside score from Ellie, and this time it is for Argentina.
The odds are stacked up against an Argentinian side who go to their first World Cup in 12 years, and despite qualifying, only reformed as a team, having not played a single match for 1,000 days in between 2015 and 2017. Their history at the World Cup isn't great either, where they finished bottom of the group in the two times they've appeared in the tournament, including 2007, where they lost all six matches and conceded a hard-to-believe 33 goals. But featuring a squad now primarily playing in Europe's biggest leagues and on the back of an impressive third-place finish at last year's Copa America Femenina, the 37th-ranked Las Albicelestes will still be looking to at least pick up a point or two, provided recent Leon signing Thola Jaimes has the same scoring boot she had on at last year's Copa America. But when it comes to Argentina, here's what really matters.
Inside score.
Whilst the previously mentioned Thole will carry the hopes and expectations for all Argentinians this summer, it's actually a player who didn't even make the Argentinian squad, who's all the talk of the women's game back home. Whilst they linger in the third tier in the men's footballing pyramid, Buenos Aires side, UAI Urquiza, are something of a football powerhouse in the women's game, playing in the top division, regularly beating the likes of River and Boca, and lifting many a trophy. And it's perhaps for this reason that rising star Macarena Sanchez signed for the club in 2012, where as striker, she played a central role in the club's greatest era, as UAI Urquiza won their first ever national title, then three more over the next 4 years she played. But the good times came to an abrupt halt, for Sanchez at least, in January this year. Smack bang in the middle of the season, Maca, as she's known by friends, received a call from her club in which she was notified by her coach that they were dispensing with her services. Her coach justified it as footballing reasons without any other coherent explanation. Whilst Argentinian league rules meant she wasn't allowed to join another club halfway through the season, Argentinian women's football culture meant Sanchez also didn't have a contract with the club that she played for, which meant she couldn't receive any money or any payout of any income. In fact, for the past half decade, despite leading the line with the most successful club in the country, all Sanchez was privy to was a paltry 400 Argentinian pesos, or £8.25 a month, for travel. For Sanchez, who often didn't even receive those travel expenses, it was the final straw, and the now 27-year-old decided to take the issue to the top, taking legal action against her former club and the Argentinian Football Association, seeking compensation and professional status. And whilst the Sanchez case is still ongoing, huge change in the game was enacted less than 2 months after Macarena's claim. As in March, flanked by a dozen or so female players, AFA President Claudio Chiqui Tapia held a press conference to confirm the establishment of a professional league next season, which will see the federation support the country's first 16 clubs with financial subsidies. On top of that, Tapia promised the AFA plan to pay far more attention to its female footballers, including the creation of a high-performance centre, a female-exclusive dressing room at the National Team Training HQ, and providing pitches for teams that don't have their own facilities. Whilst Tapia was the spokesperson who announced the changes, many wanted to make it clear who was really behind the movement, the still uncontracted Sanchez, who took to Twitter stating, "Women's football is professional. It is the first step, and it was all ours. Those who no longer play but still joined our fight, and those who were playing and did not stop the fight despite the pressures." But it wasn't just Sanchez's actions that led to this change, as the entire nation is currently undergoing radical cultural upheaval thanks to a series of movements that are successfully protesting and changing the country's infamous machista culture.
Football Inside Out by Copper 90.
So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult. And that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
If Scotland beat Argentina, they can technically go through as a third placer. I think they would go through instead of Nigeria.
But what about Argentina?
Argentina would
you just
still go
had
through?
Their inside score, and then
I know, yeah,
basically that Scotland's going to take it away from. No, Argentina's on one, so if they won, they have a much better chance to go through, right? On 4 points. If Argentina win, they go through. Wow.
Yeah. So they've all got stuff to play for.
Yeah. This is when it gets kind of shitty that kickoffs happen at the same time.
I know,
the third match,
yeah.
Because I mean, I guess you could have two TVs or a screen, But we got the big screen in here for all the matches. And
I'll obviously be watching the England game.
Oh, they're playing too?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, obviously the England game is what's going to go down in here because I'm here for the beer throwing. So
yeah, there's still not been any beer throwing, is there?
No, it's been a respectful buildup, I think, is a good thing. You know, you don't want to get overexcited. Plus, people like...
Blimey, yeah. What's that?
Someone threw their first beer across the room. I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully we can do that, like, not in the clubhouse where a goal is scored, everybody runs outside quickly, throws it up in the air, stands under the waterfall of beer coming down, we run back inside, check the replay, go on to the next one.
Don't get messy in here. Yeah, I've just seen all the beer that's been delivered to the clubhouse upstairs, and there's like two lines of it leading perfectly down to the stairs where the podcast is recorded. It's like a royal corridor of beer.
It's like what an American romance would look like, you know? Like, we wouldn't put flower petals. We'd slowly lead you from a trail of Budweisers to a beautiful heart-shaped thing of Budweiser cans and beers.
Some caps on the
to
bed.
To like a fondue fountain with Budweiser spraying out of it.
With those frogs. Who you say your name.
Yeah.
God, that got weird, didn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, just trying to be American here.
I know, yeah. I got quite into it, to be fair. Yeah. Right, that is all we've got. That was a great outro, by the way. And if you would like to subscribe, like I said, you can. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to your podcast so you never miss an episode. And if you've enjoyed it, please leave us a review or just, you know, DM Heath.
Yeah, I know reviews sound silly, but they help us. They help justify what we're doing. And it helps also continue to get this in front of more eyeballs. So the more you review, the more subscriptions we have, the more of a chance we have to share this with everyone. So, and also subscribe to our daily newsletter that's going out during the tournament. Head to copa90.com/WC19 and click or tap on Copa 90 France Daily to sign up.
Get in touch because we love to hear from you as well. footballinsideout@copa90.com and tweet us using the hashtag #Copa90InsideOut. Goodbye.
Bye.
Copa 90, Football Inside Out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.